Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome. Super pumped for our guest today. One of my favorite chaps so far. It was a blast connecting with him. Can't wait to share his story. Before we dive into that, though, I do want to say, check out the free resource that I have for you, mtgpro2.com/free resource is where you can check that out. I wanted to put together the little-known tools that the pros use when they build decks. These are tools that were recommended right here in the very show. It's not Channel Fireball or Star City Games. I've been bringing this up every episode for a couple weeks now because I really want you to go check it out. I really want to get the word out there for maybe someone who's new. Welcome. If you are new, welcome to the show. What we do here is we interview the best Magic the Gathering players twice a week. You'll get a fantastic episode on Tuesday and Friday right now. That's when they come out. And if you have been listening to the show for a while, thank you. Thank you so much. It's because of you that I'm here. I love doing this. I love spending time with you. And I really appreciate you coming on this journey with me. It's definitely been a journey. Ups and downs, highs and lows, both in Magic and not in Magic. I make mistakes both on the battlefield and outside of the battlefield. You know, technical issues and just, you know, little things here and there. And I really appreciate you sticking with it and coming on this journey with me. So thank you so much. I love connecting with you, prodigies. So mtgpro2.com/Facebook group. That's one of the best places to go to connect. I love being in there and on Twitter talking about Magic and just, you know, helping each other out. So two things you can do, all with the baseline of mtgpro2.com. There's /Facebook group where you can check out the group and chat with me and other amazing prodigies about Magic. People who know a lot more than me, for sure. And /free resource where you can get a list of pro recommended tools that will help you build a better deck. So check those out, and I don't want to wait any longer. Let's bring in our fantastic guest, who is doing great things and has many, many years ahead of him of doing many more great things. I can't wait. Let's bring him in and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I am super pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest is 13 years old and loves to play Magic. Since he started playing almost 4 years ago, he has competed in 7 Grand Prix, made Day 2 in 4 of them, and Top 8 in one of them. His favorite formats are Modern, Legacy, and Pauper. Coming to us from Portland, Oregon, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Ethan Brown. Ethan, how you doing today?
Very good.
Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with our audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Sure.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Ethan, we love to learn a little bit about you before we dive in. So, obviously, 13, I'm assuming that you still have school going on?
Yes, yes.
Excellent. So, how do you do that? How do you do school and Magic at the same time?
Well, I am homeschooled by my dad at the moment. So, we just, like, I wake up and we do a bunch of school stuff. And then, after school's done, we just go over to Magic and...
That's awesome. That is so cool. I was homeschooled too. I did first and second grade and then did homeschool all the way until I went to college. So that is really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what are you studying?
I really like history and math.
Nice. Math. All right. Cool. We can kind of, you know, see that flourish as you womp people on the battlefield. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So are you, do you have brothers and sisters or what do you got going on?
I have one smaller brother. He's named Roland. He's 3 years younger than me.
All right, all right. So did he play Magic?
No.
No, all right. Well, so you're just setting a good example for him.
Yeah. I want him to play Magic, but he won't budge.
To each their own. That's cool. So we mentioned in the bio that you started 4 years ago. We would love to hear the story of how you first got into Magic. We use stories to bridge the gap between where we are and where you are. So tell us the story of the first time that you ever saw or played Magic cards.
Well, I was up in Washington visiting some friends, and we were... It was like, I think about like 4.5 years ago. And we were like in like this coffee shop. And there was this guy on the table who was like sorting these cards. And we're like, hey, what are you doing? And it's just like, hey, I'm just sorting Magic cards. And it's like, okay, that seems cool. And then later we were looking for a backgammon board, which we never actually got. And we were looking all over like the stores and like no one was having it. And one of the stores pointed us towards Rainy Day Games. And so we went over there. And they had a huge Magic sign in the window. And me and my dad were like, hey, that's Magic. That's that guy, the thing that guy was playing.
Yeah.
I went in and I saw some stuff, and we decided to, well, for the backgammon, we actually got some, like, a Warhammer 40,000 kit, which we never ended up playing. But then later, we went back there, and we got some starter decks, and we had a friend that used to play Magic, who's about my age, like, back in New Phyrexia. And this was in Return to Ravnica time. Return to Ravnica had just come out. So we just got some Return to Ravnica starter decks, and we had no idea what all the cards were. And so, like, we, like, put them all and, like, opened little packs and stuff and put all the cards together. We totally mixed up the deck. And we got a Jace Architect of Thought, which was $50 at the time, and we were really excited. And that's how we kind of got into Magic. And so we started playing with my friend, and we learned the rules slowly. And then we started going, like, after, like, I don't know, like, 6 months or something, we eventually got up the courage to join, like, a draft.
Right.
At Radio Games. And I did pretty good, like, went 2-2. And then that we found that was really fun, so we did a bunch of those.
That's awesome. That is so cool. I love hearing how people get in. And you came in on Return to Ravnica. That was your the first set that you and your dad got in on. That's neat. So, if you lived in Ravnica, what guild would you be part of?
Oh, definitely Selesnya.
Definitely Selesnya. Why is that? I mean, you knew that, Cole. Why is that?
Well, Selesnya is all about life and growing, and they also have freaking trees that come alive.
Yeah.
Like, so how, cool. You can, like, ride on the back of a tree.
That's so cool. I love it. Absolutely love it. What has been your favorite set?
My favorite set that I played with has probably have to be Theros, but my favorite set in general is Time Spiral.
Ooh.
Even though I've played, like, a couple drafts on Magic Online Flashback.
Right.
But I like to see the cards and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, that was a pretty sweet set. And I remember Theros being very... I just remember when that set was being released and the pictures that they were releasing, I just thought it was so cool. All the, you know, the giant gods and just the feel of it was just very epic. And so that's a good set.
I'm also very into Percy Jackson, so I knew all the Greek mythology stuff, and that was really cool.
Oh, that's so neat. So it just resonated with you. That's wonderful.
Uh-huh. And also, like, the Theros was the first time I really got competitive in Magic, because that was right when I got turned onto the Limited Resources podcast.
Yes, good stuff.
And that, like, taught me, like, oh my gosh, like, these cards are good, these cards are bad. And I did a lot of Theros drafts.
Excellent, excellent. So along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
Olivia Voldaren is probably my favorite card.
All right, so for those of us who don't know what it is it, what does it do, and why do you like it?
It's 2, a black, and a red for a 3/3 creature vampire with flying, and you can pay 1 and a red to deal 1 damage to a target creature, and it becomes a vampire addition to its other types, and you can put a 1/1 counter on Olivia Voldaren, and then you can pay 3 and 2 black to gain control of target vampire.
Nice.
So it's very in flavor with vampires, where, like, it's like Olivia Voldaren's biting someone, he gets a counter, deals damage to it, and then you could it becomes a vampire, and then you can make the vampire on your team.
Love it. Do you have any sweet stories with Olivia?
Well, not me personally, but my dad. We were kind of doing a little standard homebrew stuff at the time in Return to Ravnica Standard. And my dad, we had Olivia Voldaren, and my dad played it, and our opponent, he said his opponent just went, ugh!
The groan test.
Groaned, like, oh my gosh, that's so good.
That's so fun. So, what makes Magic fun? Why do you like it, Ethan? Why do you keep playing?
Well, I really like complicated mind games. And, well, also, I'm very good at it, so that's a big helper.
Yeah, no kidding. It's nice. Yeah, it's nice to get into things that, you know, you're good at, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just sort of, like, clicked with me. It's like, this is what I want to be doing. This is very fun, and, like, my brain just works very well.
Love it, yeah.
Magic mindset.
So, what was an aspect of Magic that you were terrible at when you first started, but that you eventually overcame?
I think probably, I mean, like, I'm very, very, very bad at deck building. I mean, I'm still very, very bad at deck building. But something I overcame, I guess, probably drafting. When I first was drafting, I guess, like, I didn't really pick good cards.
So what did you do to get better at drafting?
Well, a big thing was that limited resources, but just, like, the order of how good cards are. Like, prioritizing some cards over others, like making like a list. Or I pick like Oresko's Sun. I don't forget like Sun Champion, or over like a like Nyxborn Wolf, something like that. Just like if you have both those cards in a pack, you want to pick this card over that, and then like this card over that, and this card over that, and you have like a little list that of cards.
Yeah. So listening, like consuming content, and then putting that stuff into practice, getting out there, doing drafts, practicing it. That's kind of how you were able to attack the draft aspect and improve in that.
Yes.
Excellent. Now you did mention deck building. That is something that, you know, a lot of players struggle with. You're still, you know, doing really well when you go to events and stuff like that. So what are you doing as far as that goes? You just find a deck that works for you and then tweak it a little bit? Or what have you done to, you say, hey, I know that I'm not the best deck builder, so what do you do to kind of, you know, stay in the game?
Well, when I first got into Modern, which was kind of a cool story, but we proxied out like 10 decks.
Okay.
And played them against each other. And I found one deck that I really, really liked, and that was Affinity. So I'm like, okay, I really, really like this Affinity deck, so let's build it for real. And then it was just, that's how I got, like, that's how I chose my deck.
So that's great. So you proxied 10 decks, and did you play a little bit with all 10 of those decks?
Oh, yeah. We were constantly, like, testing against and then, like, making another deck, taking out another one.
Excellent. Nice. So that's a wonderful way to go about it. That's really good, because then you got to feel, you know, for how you like each one of those decks, but then you also got a feel for how each of those decks played. So then when you were on the other side and you're playing your Affinity deck, you're like, oh, I remember what it was like to play Infect or Abzan or whatever it happens to be. And so you, oh, that card's important. I'll take care of that card or whatever. So... awesome. That's really neat. I like that. I like that approach. You know, you made sure that you found one that you liked before you invested in it. I love that. You know, test before you invest. You know, that's a good way,
yes, definitely,
way to go about it. So when did you feel that you, obviously we're all growing and improving, but was there a period of time that you felt that you grew the most, or that you look back and said, whoa, like I've come a long way. Like, was there a level up time for you?
Definitely Theros. When Theros came, I went from like, ooh, I get to like, I have no idea what I was doing. Just like, I picked this card, and like, I had like, not like my only outlet for knowing what cards are good was me and my friends. But with Theros, I got to like watching content and stuff, like, and then like YouTube videos of people playing Magic, and that's when I definitely started tweaking other people's opinions into mine. And
nice. I love that. And I like how you've mentioned that a couple times, how it was really when you, like you just said, instead of just relying on your own group, like your friends and stuff like that, you started getting information from, you know, a wider range of people and from better skilled players, and, you know, the podcast and YouTube content, and you really started to take that into yourself. And that's when you started really improving. That's really, really cool. I love that. I absolutely love that. So as you were learning and growing and improving, is there a pro player, past or present, that you most admire, that you look up to?
Well, I watch a lot of Paul Chi on live streams, so he's got to be my favorite pro player.
Awesome.
He's very good. I think, like, probably, like, I don't know, Owen Turtenwald or Seth Manfield is the best, but I definitely, Paul Chi is the one I take a lot of advice from.
Excellent. And why is that? What about his style resonates with you?
He's a fun guy. But yeah, he since he does a lot of live stream, he can explain a lot of his choices, and I don't know, he likes control, but he also plays Affinity, mm-hmm. And like he's comfortable with a lot of decks.
Excellent. So it's just neat to kind of tap into him and get his breadth of experience, especially since he plays similar decks to the ones that you play. Excellent. Now, we all share something in common in that our Magic journeys have ups and downs, highs and lows, but each one of our ups and downs are unique. So I want to dial in on two moments, one being your worst Magic moment and what you learned from that experience. So take us there. Tell us that story. What was your worst Magic moment?
My worst Magic moment? I don't know. Oh, gosh. I guess, like, maybe, like, a big mistake or something. I don't know.
A big mistake or a near miss at a tournament. Just something that really stands out as a, oh, man.
Well, one time I was playing against Splinter Twin, and I was he had, like, a fully foiled out deck, and I was so obsessed with how, like, he had a totally foiled out deck that I forgot to sideboard.
Huh, interesting.
And I realized that, like, after game two. That was kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, man. So, did you end up losing that match?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So what was it about his foil out deck? Was it just, oh, it's so shiny, you were so impressed by it? Or was it like, oh my gosh, like, he has enough money to foil out his deck, he must be like some hot shot and you were intimidated? Like, what was it that kind of threw you off?
Kind of like, it's so shiny, oh my gosh, you got foil Splinter Twin.
Dang, that's awesome. And, I mean, not awesome for you, I guess. But so, yeah. What did you learn from that experience? So you're there, you're playing, and then you're in game two, and you're like, oh my goodness, I totally forgot to sideboard. What did you pull away from that experience?
Well, don't get distracted, and always remember to sideboard, but just mainly don't get distracted by other things.
So have you done anything since then to help you not get distracted, or was that like such a powerful lesson that now you just kind of, that's just kind of your MO now, is you just don't get distracted?
I think probably like that was just a powerful lesson. I don't do anything special.
It's interesting how stuff like that happens, and we just kind of, it happens once and then it just kind of shakes us up and we're like, all right, well, never doing that again, you know? And so don't, so I would encourage prodigies out there, especially, you know, younger, newer ones. Like Ethan said, don't get distracted. Like, people have foil decks or, you know, full art lands or all this crazy stuff to kind of their collection and impress and stuff like that. But just focus on the game, do your thing, and don't forget to sideboard for sure. So on the flip side are our highs. And Ethan, we want to figure out, what is your proudest Magic moment to date?
Well, my most accomplishment was, of course, getting second in the Grand Prix. But I think I was really proud when I started getting a journal and having my dad write down all the my sideboard strats against each matchup. So I now have like a sideboard guide that I know exactly what I want to sideboard whenever I play against a certain deck.
That is excellent. That is really neat. And you adjust it as the metagame develops?
Yeah. I'm always tweaking my deck.
That's really neat. So you have a journal, keep track of matchups and sideboard plans. And then obviously you made second place at a Modern Grand Prix. That was Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
Excellent. That is so cool. So we want to dive into that. What were you doing leading up to that event? How are you preparing? What did your preparation look like so that you can make it all the way to the finals of a Grand Prix?
I guess the only really preparation we were doing was just playing lots of Modern. For Grand Prix, I usually don't really test at all. We almost were not going to go. Like, my dad got like last minute tickets that were, for us, that was under $300. So our plan was for us not to go. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, we're going to go, like the week before we went. And that was really cool. And
that is really cool.
Good thing we did.
Yeah, no kidding. So with that obviously comes a Pro Tour invite. So have you been to the Pro Tour off of that invitation yet?
Yes. I went almost like a month ago now, maybe like 3 weeks.
So how'd you do there?
Not that good. I went 2-6.
Okay.
But it was standard and draft, which is not my favorite format.
Interesting. What was it like being there playing with like all the other pros?
It was intimidating.
Really?
They were very, very good. And I had to make sure I made a lot of mistakes and I got punished for those mistakes.
So you mentioned it was standard. How did you pick that deck? Because you said it's outside of your normal, you know, the normal formats that you play. So how did you pick that deck and what did you do to, you know, prepare to go to a Pro Tour?
Well, I just picked the deck I had the most experience with. We were dabbing around with other decks and stuff, but I ended up playing Green-White Tokens.
Okay.
Because I had been playing with Green-White Tokens before and I already had it. And I know Green-White Tokens better than any of the other decks.
Smart choice. So you went with one that you... A deck that you knew better than all the rest.
Ever since I qualified for the Pro Tour, I've been doing like almost all draft and standard. After the Pro Tour, I've gotten back into Modern.
Nice.
And Legacy.
So on that note, kind of diving into again preparation and whatnot for Modern, you play it a lot, obviously, so you know your deck very well. You have this journal, so you keep track of the sideboards and stuff like that. Has the metagame ever shifted to where Affinity wasn't good, or is it always good? And because I'm wondering, because some people go through this cycle, right, where they have a deck in Modern, and then sometimes, for whatever reason, it's just not good right now. So what have you ever faced that, and what do you do in those situations?
I have not faced a time where Affinity has been bad. And even if there is a time where Affinity is bad, I just know it so much better than any other deck that I probably will be more successful with Affinity than a brand new deck.
Very good point. And so how do you get the most out of your playtest sessions? When you are practicing, is there anything that you're keeping track of? Or at this point, is it just getting the reps in? What does effective playtesting look like?
I just play almost every other day. And so after every game, I take out my sideboard and ask my opponent, is this a good thing I should have sideboarded against you? Mm-hmm. Or what should I have sideboarded against you? So what is the best sideboard plan against them? And so over time, I get a pretty good sideboard guide against all the matchups. And I also ask if there's any mistakes I made. And usually there's not many big ones. But it's like, what should I have taken with that Thoughtseize? Or,
right, okay.
I have sacked my Arcbound Ravager?
And that's really good that you do that, because win or lose, it takes a lot of humility to do that. And not a lot of people, some people, they tilt or they're salty and they leave and they don't take the time to go through that exercise. And I think that's very important, because obviously, just like you know your deck really well, when you get to the upper levels, obviously the other players, they know their decks very well. And so they'd be the ones, if someone asks you, hey, here's my sideboard, what's the best sideboard cards against Affinity? You'd be able to say this, 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 and this. And so getting that information from your opponents is, I think, priceless. And obviously, you put it to good use because you have a journal to keep track of that stuff. And man, that's awesome. I think that's really, really, really good advice that a lot of us can, take away and do much better at. So thanks for sharing. As you have played, and you've done, probably thousands of games against hundreds of people and just really seen a lot and learned a lot and grown a lot, we want to tap into that, because we know, the Prodigies know, we can't win every time, but we can learn every time. So what is the biggest mistake that you see players make, and then how can we avoid that mistake?
I think the biggest mistake I see players make is probably not asking other people for help in decisions, such as, should I play this card or not? How should I sideboard? Stuff like that. Lots of people aren't constantly asking for help on a sideboard or a sideboard plan.
And how can we get better at that?
I think just don't be afraid to ask for help because you can always disregard if you don't think they know what they're doing. But you should get as much information as possible from your opponents and other people on other creators.
Yeah, and I love some of the points that you were saying, the things that you should be asking, or some of the things you can ask are, good sideboard choices, and then key decisions in the game, ask them, hey, like you said, what should I have taken with the Thoughtseize, or should I have sacked this at this time? And so those are some of the things that you can hone in on as players to really help you improve. So, excellent. So turning that lens inward on you, what are some of your shortcomings and what are you working on to improve at Magic?
Definitely, I think my biggest shortcoming is that I'm very bad at constructed deck building. I typically don't build my own decks. I just find a deck I like on the internet, and I want to become a better deck builder. So mostly the extent of my deck building is tweaking decks, but I don't usually come up with a deck idea on my own.
And so how do you go about improving that skill? What resources do you turn to? What are you doing to get better at that?
On Magic Online, I'm really into Pauper. So I've been kind of making some Pauper decks, which is kind of like, practice for being a good deck builder. Just being able to build a deck is very useful.
Cool. So you just build decks. We've heard that before, like writers write, and deck builders, they build decks. So you just got to get in there, even though you might not feel you're the best deck builder, you have to start somewhere, right? So you put a deck mm-hmm. together, ask somebody, the theme here, asking others for input and feedback, get their advice and thoughts, and then build another deck and then ask again. And you keep going through that iterative process as you improve your deck building skills. And what has been the deepest thing you've learned about yourself from playing Magic?
I think I am a very fast player, probably a little too fast. So I have learned that I need to slow down and all right, I play my, Mox Opal, then play my Ornithopter, then play my Memnite, where as I just go Mox Opal, Ornithopter, Memnite, Darkseal Citadel, Steel Overseer, pass a turn. And wait, should I kill something and counter it? So I need, because I kind of get in the zone. I'm just like, doo 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 doo.
Nice. You know what you're doing? You're like, boom. That is awesome. That is awesome. So knowing what you know now, usually I ask people, what would they go back and tell themselves 10 years ago? But you'd be three, so that would be very relevant advice. So if you could go back, let's see, even 5 years ago would be before you played Magic. I guess if you could go back in time to the beginning of when you first started, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
Don't be afraid to play in tournaments and look up deck lists.
So the tournament one, would you say, so kind of getting into tournaments earlier, is that...
yes, definitely.
And why is that? Why is that popping into your mind? Why is that important?
Well, because I wasn't playing in tournaments for like until 6 months after I got into Magic, because we were afraid that like, oh, we're just going to get destroyed. But eventually we said like, what the heck, we're going to go in. It doesn't matter if we win. It doesn't matter if we lose. Just good to play. And I did pretty good. And I was like, yay.
That's awesome. I love that because it's so true. Like, it's one of those things where people are like, oh, I don't want to go until I feel ready. Well, you're never going to feel ready unless you go. And, you know, sometimes it takes people a while to warm up to FNM. But Grand Prix are usually the big one. Like, oh, I don't want to go to Grand Prix because, you know, it's money and I don't want to waste it and all this stuff. Well, you're never going to get that experience at playing at that upper level unless you go and play at that upper level. You know, and like you said, you understand, hey, we're just going to go to learn. You know, whether we do well or not, we're just going to go and learn and soak it in. And that's how you start, you know? And, yeah, so absolutely. I think that's great advice. Just jump into the tournament scene and get your feet wet and just start going for it.
Yep, definitely.
Let's see. So how many pro points do you have?
How many pro points do I have, Dad?
I had six, but I think they flushed.
So like zero
right now. I think.
Oh, okay.
I guess right now I have zero.
Because of the new season. Right.
Yeah. But I think before I had like six.
All right. So do you have any plans for some GPs coming up this year?
We've booked tickets to go to Dallas.
Okay.
So we're going to try to go to the Dallas Modern Grand Prix. And we're also going to try and hit the Las Vegas.
Oh, yes, of course.
Legacy Modern Grand Prix. Oh, I also, I won a PPTQ.
Excellent.
So I'm
going
to go to an RPTQ.
Oh, that's really good. Was that a modern event as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I win I get top four of the RPTQ, I get to go to Dublin, Ireland.
Yes. Ooh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I love it. So do you only go to the modern, like the Grand Prix and PPTQs and stuff like that?
I've gone to Los Angeles was my first modern Grand Prix.
Okay.
First and only modern Grand Prix that I've done. So, I've only done one modern Grand Prix, but since modern is like one of my favorite formats, I want to go to try and hit more modern legacy Grand Prix because I don't really like standard.
Got it. That's where you feel you have the most edge is in modern.
Yes.
And what do you play in legacy?
I recently got my dad was really nice and bought me a Eldrazi Stompy deck.
Okay.
So it's basically like the modern Eldrazi deck, but in Legacy. Because
nice.
There's lots of... And I've been doing kind of good at my local game stores.
Man, that is so cool. Legacy is a format that still intimidates even me. And like we just talked about, it's one of those things. I should just like jump into it. My friends are always like, build Legacy. I'm like, yeah. So that's neat that you've jumped in and you're, you know, giving it a shot and whatnot. So,
and I'm very lucky that there are stores very close to our house that are hosting Legacy tournaments.
That play Legacy. Yeah, that's another thing too, for sure. So let's say in Modern, since that's your, I guess your highlighted format, what is an underplayed card in Modern? What do you think is there? Is there some kind of sleeper or a card that doesn't get as much respect?
I think probably Runesnag, which you probably haven't heard of it. It's a card from Cold Snap. It's one blue for an instant. Counter target spell, unless it's controller pays two, and plus an additional two for each card called Runesnag in your graveyard.
Oh, okay.
So it's sometimes better
so
mana leak.
Yeah, so it's like the first one is worse than mana leak, but then the second one is better than the third and fourth and so on.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you know what, those, okay. Yeah, I can see how that'd be an under-respected card, because if you get them on like turn two or something like that, it's just as good as a mana leak, and then everyone after that is better. Oh, okay. That is a really interesting card. And what was it called? Runesnag?
Yeah, I believe that's the name.
Nice.
It's common from Cold Snap.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So when you travel and you're going to these events and these tournaments, what do you take with you? What is actually inside your tournament bag?
Usually just like my modern deck and what we call a sideboard, which is cards that I might want to put in my deck or my sideboard.
Okay.
Just basically my collection of like affinity playable cards. And so I'd probably like bring that and maybe my legacy deck if there's someone who wants to play legacy with me. And then like if I wanted to do like side events, maybe like a box full of like sleeves.
What kind of sleeves do you use?
I use KMCs, and with my modern legacy deck, I've double sleeved with tight fit or whatever. Like,
yeah, the perfect fit.
Yeah, perfect fit.
Cool. Do you use playmats?
I do. Since I've done 7 Grand Prix, I have lots of playmats.
Which one do you like the most, or what's one of your favorite arts?
Well, I'm not sure. I like playmats that represent my big accomplishments, okay. Like the Grand Prix of Los Angeles playmat, or I have a signed Grand Prix Las Vegas playmat of Vendillion Click.
That's very nice.
It's artist, so that one's pretty good.
Yeah, that is really cool. Man, absolutely love it. So magic tends to be a manifestation of not only the effort that we put into magic, but it also can reflect the other, you know, other things in our lives, like the other preparation that we put into it. So do you have any daily habits or rituals that you feel leads to your success?
Well, I play magic a lot, which keeps me comfortable with the formats and the game. But other than that, I mean, I also watch a lot of magic content on like YouTube and Twitch.
And where do you go? What resources do you recommend when you go and consume magic content? Where are you going?
Typically, I go to MTG Goldfish, which is my favorite site and YouTube channel for magic stuff. I haven't been listening to any podcasts recently. But yeah, I like to just go on MTG Goldfish and look at the metagame and all the decks that are there.
Excellent. So right now, this is selfish, how's Modern looking? What's good? Because I'm actually going to a PPTQ in about a month here, and it's Modern. And Modern is not my best format. So I know things can change in a month, but I would love to hear what do you think is going on right now in Modern? Where are things sitting? What's good? What's not good? Yeah, tell us a little bit about what you think.
Well, I think right now Path to Exile is very prevalent, so you might want to run more than one basic in your deck. And as for like decks that are good, well, obviously Affinity is very good right now, as with like just Jund and Eldrazi and Zuicide and Dredge, so to like the top decks.
Okay.
Merfolk's also okay right now.
Because I have I have a Bogles deck, and that's what I took to GPLA, but I don't know if it's...
Bogles is fun.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really my style. I don't know. And so I was thinking, I'll just build something else. And for the longest time, I wanted to build the Abzan Company deck, just because I love the toolbox feel or whatever. But right now, there's a lot of hate against Dredge, which incidentally hates out, you know, the graveyard of Abzan. And so now I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so I'm just curious. I wanted to hear from a modern master like you, what you think is good in Modern.
There's a new deck that I saw like yesterday, and it's like this Abzan toolbox deck. It's kind of like Kiki Cord, but it's Abzan. So you can like search up like the Archangel Spike Feeder combo.
Okay.
But you can also search up like just good utility creatures like Reclamation Sage, yeah. Linvala, and it uses Eldritch Evolution.
Oh, yeah, Eldritch Evolution, right.
To, like, search up your cards so you can, like, sack your Voice of Resurgence and get up a Siege Rhino.
Huh. I will definitely have to check that out because that sounds up my alley. Plus, the mana base will be similar to Bogle's, so then I'll be able to, you know, green and white, so at least I'll have some of the lands I can bring over. So, sounds good. That sounds really good.
Seems like a good deck. That and Kiki Cord. I think Kiki Cord's underrated right now.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thanks. Thanks for pitching in. So what would you say to brand new Magic players? You know, people that come into the game, they start loving it and they're playing and they're like, hey, I want to get into this. I want to get serious. And they realize, whoa, you know, this is a pretty expensive hobby. How would these brand new players sink their teeth into Magic? What would you say to them?
I would say don't waste all your money on Standard and Draft. It may seem like a lot of money, but I would try and get into Modern. Because once you buy a Modern deck, you don't have to buy like any more Modern decks. Whereas if you become a long-term player, Draft and Standard start becoming very, very expensive.
Okay, so get into Modern. So kind of save your money, get into Modern, because then you have a deck that you can use over and over and over again with minimal upkeep, and then maybe you can use, you know, winnings from Modern events to kind of get into other formats if you so choose.
Yes, definitely.
Man, I love it. Absolutely love it. And let's see, you already mentioned some of the future events that you're going to be at, and that's great. We love seeing past guests go off and do great things, so we will be cheering for you and watching you. So, like,
Thank you.
Keep it up. You're an inspiration to us all. Now, to close it up, I would like to know, what's the most important thing in your life?
Probably my dog, Patty.
And why is that?
She is very cute and very calm, and I can't imagine what my life would be without her.
So we have Patty and Ethan. Thank you so much for being on today. ProTutor Prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Ethan, you'll have a hard time doing so. He is not on Twitter, but we know what events he'll be at, so we can watch him do great things and cheer him on from afar. And Ethan, what is one last parting piece of guidance? Either something that you've already said or something new that you want to emphasize here at the end?
I guess have a sideboard plan. Learn what to sideboard at certain matchups. That's very, very useful. That's probably the number one thing.
Excellent. Ethan, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse, and thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it has been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed, always draw what you need, and depart every plane victorious.
Bye.
And there you have it, everyone. Ethan Brown, what a guy, huh? What a kid. I mean, what an amazing story. What a fantastic young man. Like, I met him at GP Portland, just full of life and energy and just happy to be here. Loves Magic. And in the post-interview chat, I got to talk with his dad a little bit more. And they're just great people. You know, I think it's so fantastic that they're able to do homeschooling and then make time not only for education, but also for Magic. And I love to hear that they are being taken care of so well. Ethan's dad mentioned that Wizards flew Ethan and him, Ethan's dad, out to the Pro Tour. You know, they paid for both of them, which I think is really cool and obviously top-notch of Wizards, because obviously the dad didn't get an invite to Pro Tour, but obviously Ethan's not going to go without his dad, and so Wizards said, of course, you know, we'll pay for you to go. I mean, it wasn't even a question. They just did it. And so I love how, you know, it's a top-down thing. We have a community that takes care of each other, and the stage is set by Wizards, and they try really hard. You know, obviously you're gonna have people who can gripe about everything, you know, and not every decision that somebody makes is gonna please everyone. In fact, every decision you make is not gonna please everyone. There's gonna be somebody who doesn't like it, right? But Wizards tries really hard. You know, they do a lot for us, and they do a lot for the community. They try and listen and give back, and sometimes they do better than others, but in this particular case, I just love that it wasn't even a question. It was like, hey, there's a minor going to Pro Tour. Obviously, him and his dad get the ticket. So just love it. It was just a fantastic conversation. Thanks so much for joining me. I do want to say that I think this is amazing. I know I learned a lot. I learned a lot from this 13-year-old kid who is playing Magic at a higher level than me. And I love that about this game. You know, we've heard it from other guests, especially young ones, where they love that Magic was an arena, a place, a space where they were treated as equals, where the age doesn't really seem to be an issue. And we also heard from other players to take advice from everyone. You never know. Even players who you think you're better than, you got to check your pride at the door, you know, and you can learn something from everyone. Sometimes you learn what not to do, right? Sometimes you learn plays you don't want to make, but you can definitely learn something from everyone. So keep it up. Keep Magic an all-inclusive activity, okay? That goes for boys, girls, old, young. That goes for everybody. You know, I love about our community how inclusive we can be. And it kills me every time I hear a story about someone being negative or exclusive or discriminatory or sexist or any of those terrible things that we hear. It's sad because we see it and we say, oh, well, that doesn't happen around me. But yet we keep seeing it. So this interview here with Ethan Brown kind of put me a little bit of soapbox. Sorry about that. Did not mean for that to happen. But I really feel strongly about it. You know, if a 13-year-old kid can come in and enjoy Magic, everybody can and should, right? So let's keep it an open environment for everyone. And I hate it when people like say that and you're like, what does that actually mean? What that actually means is be mindful of how other people might feel, all right? Not everyone is going to be into the same style of playmat or tokens or stuff like that. And it's a fine balance. Obviously, you want to be able to express yourself and use the tokens and playmats that you like and stuff like that. But understand how it might make other people feel. And definitely when you're dealing with other people personally, treat them with respect. Whether they're older than you, younger than you, different gender, different race, just remember that we are all here to play Magic, right? We have this common bond, which is we love these little pieces of cardboard that we can turn sideways and they represent something to us, you know?
So keep that in mind and just make magic a positive, uplifting experience for everybody. Wow, that came out of nowhere. So if you're still with me, thank you. I appreciate you listening through that. And I feel strongly about that. So thanks for sticking around. You can go to mtgprotutor.com/free-resource. At the top of the show, I mentioned that I put together a little resource guide, some tools, little-known tools that the pros on this very show have recommended to help you build a better deck. So head on over there, check it out. I'll email it to you right away, and let me know what you think. Have you heard of everything on there? Have you used everything on there already? I want to put together more compilations like this, and I'll let you know when I do. But that said, I'll let you go. I'm sure you have some magic to play, unless you're driving, in which case this is the perfect activity for driving. You don't want to be driving and playing magic at the same time. And you might not want to be listening to this and playing magic at the same time, because you want to, obviously, pay attention to your game. So, that said, I'll let you go do whatever it is that you are going to do, and I will connect with you next time right here on this very podcast. Until then, I am Sean of The Gathering, and we'll see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery, be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.